Mzansi, you are listening to Farmers Inside Track, proudly brought to you by Food for Mzansi, officially the world's best podcast for 2024, as awarded by One IFRA, the global organization for the world's press. I'm your host, Duncan Masiwa. Now, as agriculture continues to evolve, precision, efficiency, and sustainability have become paramount, especially in the face of rising input costs, tight margins, and increasing food demand. Now, drip lines are a key tool in achieving these goals, but selecting the right one can be challenging. Hein van Gaan, Netafirm branch manager in Nelspruit, will guide us through the essential features of drippers and drip lines, explaining how they address common agricultural challenges. But more than that, we'll also explore the classification and applications of various dripper types, the critical factors influencing drip line selection, and how to balance cost with performance, that and so much more. Hein, it's lovely having you with us. Welcome to Farmers Inside Track.
Duncan, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
There's so many factors that farmers need to take into consideration when it comes to, first of all, running a farm and then figuring out your irrigation system. It can feel quite overwhelming to some, but you know, we have a year. Please tell us more about the typical features that drippers and drip lines can have and the challenges these features can help farmers overcome in the field.
When you look at drippers features, it's a question also about life expectancy. Some drippers needs to be able to work for 10 plus years and others only for one season, meaning maybe 90 days to 120 days, and then you replace it. So if you look at a dripper feature, there's a few features it has, but there's three main features you will look at. And you will look at the filtration area, which is where the water enters the dripper itself. That means that filter keeps out maybe a bit of sand, stone, or whatever. But when water goes through the filter, if you have any debris, it is supposed to actually go through the whole dripper and going out at the outlet again. When it goes through the filtration area, it goes into the labyrinth, or what we would call a flow path. So this flow path is not just a normal flow path. This is where the engineering of a dripper actually comes in, and it, which it makes very interesting, is if you can visualize a big river. If a river is flowing, there's stones and there's a lot of movement and a lot of turbulence. So that means if you have a roaring river with sand in it, then the river will actually transport that sand all the way to the bottom because of this turbulence, keeping everything in suspension. That's the same with, like with a dripper. It has a labyrinth where it's supposed to keep everything in suspension until it exits the dripper line. That is actually the quality of a dripper, and it's something that is difficult to produce, difficult to manufacture. If you understand manufacturing, very interesting to look into that. And then, obviously, as the size of the dripper, the length of the labyrinth. If it's a long length, you can maybe have issues of clogging and so forth. Then the last thing that I want to mention, you get two type of drippers. You get a pressure compensating dripper and a non-pressure compensating dripper. This feature with a pressure compensating dripper means that if you have a dripper, say you've got a flow rate in your dripper line at 1 bar, and on the other end of your dripper line, the pressure is higher, maybe 2 or 2.5 bars. The pressure compensating feature ensures that you get the uniform flow rate. In other words, at the 1 bar pressure rating at the one end of your dripper line and at the 2 bar pressure rating at your other side, there on both ends you get 1 liter an hour. So this is more in your higher class type of dripper. And with this type of dripper, you also want the longer working years. As with your non-pressure compensating dripper, if you had 1 bar on the one side and 2 bar on the other side, although it's a 1 liter an hour dripper, you will actually have two different flow rates because of more pressure and it forces itself through the dripper. So this is also important because this is now where you use it for different applications. The pressure compensating dripper usually used in orchards, sugarcane, more perennial crops. And then the vegetable market is usually has a non-compensating dripper, just because in most cases, it's not used over many years. It's maybe 2 to maybe 4 seasons, then you change your drip, depending on glass dripper you use.
Hein, a wide range of drippers and drip lines are available in the market. Please elaborate on how drippers are actually classified and the applications of the different dripper classes.
Drippers have been placed in different categories, and this is actually to indicate a specific use of each of these drippers. So if you look at the classes, you get class 1 to class 4. And I'll quickly go through them. So if you look at a class 1 dripper, it's normally a high-quality dripper, durable. It's a heavy wall drip, as we call it. For example, that the wall thickness of the dripper line would be 1 millimeter or even more. But it's very important that a class 1 dripper, it usually has a big life expectancy. So if you look at orchards or perennial crop, the idea of the drip has to last 10 years or more. And that is the expectation from a class 1 dripper. Then if you move on to a class 2 dripper, it's a pressure compensated dripper as well, as I explained earlier, but its life expectancy is usually 10 years or less. If I can give you an example, a sugarcane, it's a subsurface drip is being used on sugarcane in many areas. And sugarcane is normally being re-established every 7 to 10 years. So a class 2 dripper fits in with that type of crop. Then if you look at a class 3 dripper, a non-PC dripper, you look at vegetables. It's also a very good dripper, but it's maybe smaller blocks because it's vegetables, flatter areas. So you don't have a lot of slopes and still have uniformity in your irrigation. And also, it will also be a heavy wall dripper line. With a class 2 dripper, the life expectancy is quite a few seasons. And if you think of vegetables, when vegetables are harvested and they need to re-establish the fields, they will have to take the dripper lines out of the field, maybe coil it or put it next to the field. And when they re-establish and plant again, they have to put it back. So it's been handled many times. So it's still a durable and a robust dripper line and also a quality dripper. And then the last class is a class 4 dripper, is what we would call a thin wall drip. This is for seasonal vegetable crops as well. But if you think of a thin wall, meaning that the wall thickness of the pipe, a 0.15 millimeters to 0.2 millimeters is very thin. So the whole idea behind this class 4 dripper is you use it once, if you like it twice, depending on a few factors. And then you will coil it up, send it to a recycler, and for your next crop, you roll new drip out or new thin wall drip, and so on, you repeat the process. So that is the classes of the different drippers.
Hein, it sounds to me that, you know, in order to select the correct dripper and drip line, a lot must be decided around dripper attributes. You mentioned now wall thickness, but there's also flow rate, spacing, and much more. Which factors must be considered and what information must be collected in order to make these decisions?
Yes, that is correct, Duncan. I think when it comes to these questions, it's usually the decision must be made with a few experts as well. But if you look at the few pointers that is very important, is water quality. So firstly, we'll do a water quality test or a water analysis. And then in analysis, you would look at like total suspended solids. Is there a lot of biological material in your water or a lot of chemical in your water? And if we have this information, we can plan and also just put a plan in place, especially like a maintenance plan or inform the farmer. Listen, with this type of water, you can expect to experience maybe algae growth or if there's something like iron in the water, we will have to treat the drippers maybe every year with a chemical to keep it clean. So that is very important when it comes to selecting drippers. Knowing what to expect, it's much better to be informed with this. Then another thing to look at is your soil type. This is where you will make use of an agronomy team where we look at water distribution in soil. And this will also give you an indication what would your drip spacing will be. And if I talk about drip spacing, I'm talking about the drippers in the dripper line, the distance between them. Because you want nice distribution in your soil to feed your roots. And this is a very important aspect. But usually when these decisions are made, there's a few factors, a few people being called in to look at this scenario, and then you take it from there.
And I suppose cost also plays a huge role. What one farmer can afford, another farmer might not be able to. Chat to us about balancing cost and performance in drip line selection.
So there's a thing of the cost is obviously a very important thing to take in consideration. In a basic way, when you look at orchards over more years, you want your drip line to work longer until you work back your costs. And then more in a vegetable, you actually want to look in a vegetable market, you want to look at your costs more in the sense of, I'm going to use this drip once and it must make sense when I sell those vegetables that I can buy drip again. And the main thing with a vegetable or the seasonal crop drip line, as we call it, if you buy new drip and plant again, you have your new drip that's been rolled out on your farm. So you don't have maybe a clogging risk or anything else, where on a more like an orchard or a higher value crop over many years, there you would actually look at it differently in the sense of you need to keep those drippers open over a certain amount of years. So then maintenance plays a big role, and then it will make much more sense in that sense to have a good quality dripper, what we would call a class one dripper with proper maintenance practice. We'll say it's a difficult or a balancing act, but there is few things that needs to be put in consideration. And I think management and maintenance on these systems or irrigation systems will play a big part of how it eventually will roll out in the field.
It sounds to me that, you know, in order to select the correct dripper and drip line, a lot must actually be decided around dripper attributes such as, you know, the flow rate, wall thickness, you mentioned that, spacing, and more. Which factors, Hein, must be considered, and what information must be collected in order to make these decisions?
Yes, Duncan, this is a very important part to discuss. So obviously, you first start off with what crop we are talking about, what the farm wants to plot. But a big factor is your soil analysis, what your infiltration tempo will be on that area, and your water quality. So those questions will be asked off the bat to make sure that you know what you will deal with when you choose a flow rate. And then if you have good water or bad water, no one is not right or wrong. It's more a question of then we know what you will most likely happen in the next 2 or 3 years when it comes to maintenance, keeping your drippers open, your lines clean. So that is a very important factor or aspect to look at. Because if you know your infiltration tempo and your water quality, then a flow rate and dripper line spacing, you can start deciding and play with that, those factors or options. If you look at a higher value crop, then you would look at a dripper line that would obviously last the years of what the crop does. And that would probably entail the thicker wall thickness, can be handled more without getting damaged or just cut or get thorns in it, anything like that. The plan is not to replace that type of drip or that class dripper over the lifespan of a perennial crop or a high value crop. Then on the other hand, you have maybe like in the vegetable market, you only want to use the drip line for one season. And when you do your next season's planting, you roll out a new set of drip line. In those cases, you look at the thinner wall drip line. It's brand new, so you don't have a fear of any clogging and so on. You repeat the process. Obviously, that is where the cost implication come in. And then that is the balancing act that we maybe can speak about on the drip, where you have a high value crop that will be there in the ground for 10 plus years. Or on the other hand, you have a seasonal crop that you replace every year. The dripper line and the cost implication thereof just makes sense in your market. So there's a few things to keep in consideration when selecting the dripper line and the spacing thereof, the wall thickness, thicker wall thickness, more material to make the pipe, and so on. You can start building your farm or your decision around irrigation with your specific crop.
And then I suppose quality also plays an important role. How can farmers assess drip line quality, and why should they prioritize quality drip lines?
If you look at quality drip lines or drippers, If you think of a dripper and how small it is, clogging is your biggest enemy. If you clog a dripper, then you don't have water. So certain drippers have a better labyrinth that can be more resistant to clogging. Then your life expectancy is more. So if your whole system is designed correctly with a right filtration and your dripper has a good, what we call, turbulence factor, that is important factors you need to ask yourself before looking into drippers, and also what life expectancy do you want. Because obviously we all know you can't expect a dripper that's not made for a certain specific life expectancy and expected to live that long or to work that long. So dripper quality is the essence of your success with this. And eventually, if you have to start replacing drip or lines in a timeline that was not actually planned on, then you would have a big cost implication. Also, that being said, that with dripper quality, drip line maintenance is your number one friend when it comes to the success of drip irrigation. And that is something to understand and to practice when using drip irrigation.
Thank you, Hein van Gaan, NetFM South Africa's branch manager in Nelspruit. You can, of course, read more on this topic by visiting www.foodformzanzi.co.za. And that's a wrap. Remember to subscribe to our podcast on your favorite platform so you never miss any of the episodes. From me, Duncan Masiwa, our technical producer, Megan van der Vind, and the rest of hashtag Team Food from Zanzi, thanks for listening.
Life in South Africa can be a lot. I mean, scroll through Twitter for a minute and tell me I'm wrong. Thank God for South Africans though, right? We're inspiring, and even on the bad days, we fight back with a smile. That's why I love Food for Mzanzi so much. They're not ashamed to celebrate the ordinary unsung heroes who work every day to put food on our nation's tables. Go to foodformzanzi.co.za and never miss an inspiring story.